You guys ready? Calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for the Oceana Community Service Districts on May 27th, 2009. Roll call, please.
President Mann?
Here.
Vice President Hill?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Yep.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Please rise and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. If the item is on the agenda, I would suggest that you have your comments at that time. If it's a plain public comment, please state your name for the record.
My name is Gary Fowler from San Luis Obispo. Madam President, I don't know if this would be the time for me to bring this out or wait until the item on the fire issue. I wanted to speak regarding one of the permits for the fire stand.
Well, since you're already up there, go ahead.
Okay.
You'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Gary Fowler. I live in San Luis Obispo and been a resident there in the county for over 40 years. I retired from the Highway Patrol after 34 active years, and 11 years ago was hired back to work as a retired annuitant and continued to work for the CHP on registration and other programs in the county. During many of my 30 years in San Luis Obispo County, I worked here in the South County, and a great deal of that time was spent in the Oceano area. I took pride in continually doing things to make the community a better place, everything from cleaning up the junked and abandoned vehicles on both the streets, alleys, and private property, to making sure that public safety issues were addressed. Some of the faces that I've known over the years are here this evening, and I'm happy to see them again. I worked with the county after retirement to hold a mass cleanup of the Oceano area, which was a great success. During that cleanup, I put together a group of officers and administrative CHP personnel, both active and retired, to work on that project. All this was done by club members, what we call the 745 Club, free of charge to the community of Oceano and the county. The work was typical of the things that the club does with monies that they raise from the fireworks stand operation. Has been a part of the community here for well over 20 years. It was my pleasure on several occasions to visit the senior center and work on projects benefiting them with your president at the time and as a county chairman of the County Commission on Aging. During those years, the 745 Club of the Patrol, which is made up of both active retired officers and civilian personnel, always said, let us know if there's any monies you need for food, special events, or anything to help out in the Oceano area. Many times over the past years, I purchased cookies and other foods raffled items that were here available in Oceano from nonprofits and then donated those to the Oceano schools. I know that the 745 Club has always supported the melodrama and purchased tickets, which they donate to students and others in the community. Anytime I've asked people in the club to help me get support to clean up areas of trash, many times in the alleyways down here, they were always ready to help on their own time. You can't place a dollar figure on many of these acts. It was always that we had a special feeling for the area based on the dedicated use of a space for fireworks sales and many return customers each year knowing the sales were helping the Widows and Orphans Fund of the CHP, local issues related to the sheriffs and local law enforcement in need, as well as support the seniors on their issues in the area. And I urge you again to support them for this long and dedicated group by extending to them a permit to operate their fireworks stand down by the Hayashi fruit stand again this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary. Any other public comment? All right. Hearing none, seeing none, we will now move to board items for discussion. Pamela?
Nothing.
Jim?
Nothing this evening.
Vern?
I don't have anything.
Mary?
No.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to have a board member item for discussion. On last Friday, I attended the California Special District Local Chapters meeting, and we had Jerry Seebach as a speaker, and he had a lot of information, and I think I want to give that now so that it's not tied in with anything else, but you can think about it because there are several really, really important things that he said.
President Mann, can I ask you, you know, excuse my ignorance, but I don't know what Seebach and all that stuff is.
Jerry Seebach is the treasurer of San Luis Obispo County.
Oh, just the straight county?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our county.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. He's the one who eventually tells Gina how much revenue that we're going to receive for the year from property tax. Last year, 12,000 properties were reevaluated going back to 2005. This year, they're reevaluating 18,000 more that go back to 2003. So it's going to be about $1.7 billion off the tax rolls for the county. We won't know the exact figures until July 15th because they had to give the assessor more time because they had so many to reevaluate. I believe the way the law says, if the CPI is up more than 2%, then we get 2% of the property tax. So there will be an increase from Prop 13 of 2%, but because it's of the loss in the base, we're going to be 0.5% lower in revenue this year than we were last year. So the figures that we start out with are going to be 0.5% lower this year. He talked about 2009-10 is going to be kind of flat. The real programs or problems will start in 2010-2011. That's when we're really going to get hit. Everybody's going to get hit. We all know that 1A originally passed for local revenue. The state can borrow from us. They're supposed to pay it back within 3 years with interest. If the governor declares a state of an emergency. And if he does that, and there is a very, the powers to be seem to think that there is a big chance he's going to do that, then they'll come in and borrow 8% of our revenue, 8% of the property tax, 8% of our property tax that we get would not be here. So that is a lot of money to look at. We may be losing, you know, we possibly can lose that amount of money. In the past, we've been basically kind of saved because most of our property tax comes for the fire department. And for the past few years, fire and I guess safety were pretty sacred. They didn't get touched. But all bets are off the table for this year. So we just don't know what's going to happen. So I just wanted you to be aware that when we're planning for the coming year, we need to look at what we think, you know, with 0.5% reduction or change in our revenue to a possible 8% reduction. We really need to be considering these things. Dan Buckshire, I believe his name, is now very involved in the county, and they're looking at proposed budget cuts out of their supplemental budgets. It's rather interesting, though, there are no cuts planned for the planning department right now. The hearings on these things will be in the middle of June. The county has eliminated 150 positions throughout the county. 50 of those were people who took the advantage of an incentive offered for early retirement. But so, you know, 50 people retired and 100 people were let go. Bill 811 was introduced last year, and that's supposed to stimulate energy savings. They will be loaning money to property owners to install solar and other energy savings devices in their homes. So, you know, you can check with the county or somebody about that bill if you're looking to do something to upgrade the energy savings or energy that you're using. Sometimes, though, it takes a long time for that to go full cycle for you to for it to start showing a difference. But that's what I have from Jerry Seebach, and I thought it was important to not only tell this board and the audience, but the television audience, so that you know what we're looking at as a special district. And this is not only for us. It's hitting every city, every special district, the county, everything here. So, you know, when you're thinking, oh, gee, I'd like to have this, or I'd like to have that, or can we do this, or can we do that, you just have to stop and think. We may not be able to do all the things that this board wants to do, but if we don't have the money, we can't do it. Thank you.
Are you taking questions?
Sure, I'll take questions. I don't know if I can answer them, but I'll try.
Okay. And I guess this would be more a question for legal counsel, since we don't have a public policy committee or anything like that, but that this district declared a financial state of emergency before the governor made his decision to take the cuts. And so I think there's a hold harmless clause in the definition of state of emergency. And I think it might be a slim argument, better than just rolling over and taking it, you know. But that since our district recognized that we were in financial trouble early on, I know that Los Angeles last week declared that they were in a financial state of emergency and continue to update their emergency, which this district has not updated our emergency. So I'd like to go back and explore that a little bit more on what that means on a state level mainly and what it means on a county level. Because in other arenas, when you declare, like, well, I can use the term Oakland. Oakland declared AIDS a state of emergency in Oakland, and what it did is it freed up a lot of laws for them to go in and do special prevention to try to stem the spread. So I know that there is a definition attached to a state of emergency, and policy does change. And I think that it's worth a shot to say, look, we realized we were in a disaster long before you did, and we declared a financial state of emergency based on these points. So is it possible to use the hold harmless clause?
I don't think we can direct anybody to do anything because this was not an item per se on the agenda. Is that correct? It was just
It's worth exploring.
No, I'm just asking him whether you can direct him to do it or not.
You're right. It's simply a report on some material that you've got. It's not a regular agendized item, so trying to take some action on the item is probably a little bit precipitous. You could certainly get it agendized, and you could pursue it at your next meeting, and if you wanted us to, I mean, if there's kind of a consensus on the board that you wanted us to do some research on the topic, we certainly could do that. I don't think it would be the best use of the district's resources. I think it's going to be very much a dead end. But if there's a consensus on the board that you want us to pursue it, we certainly can.
Mary, we can certainly be sure it's on the agenda. Next agenda.
Yeah, I don't want to spend any money on it. I'll just research it myself. I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to spend any money on it. I just take literally 15 minutes. But
we'll put it on the agenda as an item for next meeting. Any other questions, comments?
Just to possibly clear a point of confusion, as I understand it, the governor's not yet decided to do
it
that.
No, it says if the governor declares. He has not done that yet.
And I believe it would also take the legislature to pass some kind of a law about the interest
rate. We'll take
rate
a bill,
because the state law requires interest to be paid, and there's no provision for
Although
that.
Although, I don't know, was there interest before when they passed it a few years ago? Was the interest in there then?
It just says with interest, but
it doesn't say
what the rate is.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for clarifying that. Are there any comments from the public on this? If not, we'll move on now to review and approval of the minutes.
Madam Chair, I'm going to abstain from this discussion because I did not attend the last meeting.
All right. Did everybody else have a chance to read the minutes? Were there any changes, corrections, additions, deletions? If not, looking for a motion? Or public comment on the minutes? Sorry. Any public comment on the minutes? Okay, I'm looking for a motion, please.
I move that the minutes of May 13th, 2009 be approved as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Hearing none.
And one abstain.
And one abstention. That brings us on to the reports for the month of April. The administrative assistant, and then followed by the utility operations supervisor.
Well, we're not going to go through the usual routine of how many agendas we prepared, because that's getting critical these days. We did the normal reports for the utility operations supervisor, and a couple of letters went out for Wilser's, again, on the remodels. The monthly DMV, it all of a sudden has gotten very popular again. During the month of May, we were filled up very early. Before the May actual visit, we were already full for June. Before the June now, we're already scheduling into July. So if you're going to renew your driver's license and you get your paperwork, come in quick. Thank you. Can I share with you? Thank you.
Would you like to repeat that so people can hear?
Yes. Since it's so popular, we're hoping that people who are in need of renewing their driver's license will call and come in to make an appointment as soon as they get their renewal papers from the DMV. As I said, we're already full for the month of June and filling up quickly for the month of July, and it's first come, first serve. The garbage cleanup, which was just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if anyone else drove around afterwards, but there has been so much publicity, and thank you to Director Dean, who always makes a point of mentioning it at the board meetings. It seemed to go much better still than even last year, which we thought was great, and I saw very little left laying around that needed to be taken care of after the cleanup. So the word's getting out there, and people are taking advantage of it. We were pleased to see that. Right now, we're working on the weed abatement program. We're waiting for the paperwork so that we can go through and get our preliminary final list ready for the fire department, who will be doing their final list in preparation for the hearing that we will have on June 10th, when people can come and say, I received your postcard. I think my property's fine. I hope I'm not on the final list. And it gives them an opportunity to discuss it with the board if they have some concern about doing that. In addition, we're going to be discussing the contractor for this year's hazard abatement, and I believe the fire committee will make its recommendation to the board also. We're also going to be discussing the fireworks booth and the fact that we have one position open tonight, for which we'll do a lottery drawing, which means I'd better go find something to put little slips of paper in, too. And then we will proceed with the paperwork that goes along with that, the permitting process and the paperwork that goes out to the actual people having the booths. We collected a lot of payments again last month. However, we did send out 378 late notices. That was compared to the prior year in which we sent out 410. So in spite of things looking worse than ever financially, we did manage to cut that down. We only sent out 112 door hangers, which is considerably less than we have the last two times, and we only did 12 shutoffs on the actual shutoff date. I believe there's still one service that shut off, but it's a vacation home. Let's see, what else is new and exciting? Right now, as I said, we're working on the weed abatement program. We are blessed with the presence of our auditors here this week, so you'll be pleased to know we're working on the June 30, 2008 audit, and we're working on the budget.
Are there any questions, staff?
I have a question on the 2008 audit. Mm-hmm. Is it going a little bit smoother now that they know our procedures from the initial audit that we had?
I think it's going smoother. The only problem we're having right now is that key people were out yesterday and then again today that are able to find the information that they would like much more quickly than those of us who were here trying to find it. And that's just something you can't plan for.
Any other questions? Mary?
Gina, as we talk about the money and that's coming in and prospectively coming in and not coming in, the will serv letters that have been requested in past years, mm-hmm. have they generated a significant amount of income for the area, for our programs?
Are you talking about the will serve letter itself, the $30 fee, or the connection fees for water and sewer?
Right, the whole enchilada. You know, somebody's bought a lot, they're going to build their home, you know, or whatever.
I'm very bad at statistics off the top of my head, but yes, I think we have always budgeted low on the revenues that we anticipate for hookups and connections. And I would say the majority of the time, probably 75 to 80% of the time, we are well above that amount. So it has brought a lot of revenue into the district. Even though things have slowed down dramatically, we're still seeing projects continue that we thought would have stopped, like the big 56-unit project, the multi-use residential and commercial that's planned for 21st and Cienega is still moving ahead. So it still looks promising.
And so when you set these fees and things, you know, do they vary commercially versus residential versus multifamily, right?
Right.
And so is it, so if you have one project that looks exactly the same as another project, are they going to get the exact same fees? I mean, is there consistency in our fee schedule? Because during the codification, a lot of it is to be consistent.
Exactly. If you have a single-family residence on a 50-foot-wide lot with a 5/8 meter on lot A, and two blocks away on lot B, you have an identical project, they will be charged the same thing. The only time it changes, unless the board changes the rates, is on December 31st, and the state water project connection fee goes up.
Okay. And we're using the most current codes for that, right?
Right.
Okay, because I heard Jim speak, you know, that there was there was not a sheet that you could hand somebody to say, this is what it's roughly going to cost you to build A, B, or C.
That's correct. And when at the end of the codification, hopefully staff and the board and everybody will be able to come in and there will be a piece of paper that can be handed out that will say this and this and this is what you're going to owe. Right now what we do is prepare a rough guesstimate.
Uh-huh.
When people ask preliminarily how much your project is going to cost, and until we get the actual engineer plans, we don't actually sit down and calculate the exact cost, but it's all based off the same fee schedule.
Okay, so the engineer's plan really does have a lot to do with the whole entire thing.
Sure. Okay. If somebody has 5 bathrooms and a 200-foot deep lot, chances are they're going to require a different meter size than somebody who's building a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Any comments from the audience? If not, Phil.
Okay. There were no requests of sewer system failures during the month of April. We had one leak in the water system. It was in a meter box. District crew repaired that. We received and responded to several alarms during the month. One of the alarms was caused by a power failure. The other alarms appeared to be problems with the water, with the alarm system itself. And the alarm company responded, made a couple of trips out, and they were able to get everything going again. The crew replaced several older water meters during April. We spent several days on fire hydrant maintenance. They replaced 30 missing blue street reflectors, and they painted and numbered several of the fire hydrants. They also repaired a fire hydrant valve box that had an alignment problem. Other jobs completed in April included looking up old records, locating and verifying what facilities are actually in the ground. This work was necessary as we have several water and sewer main improvement projects in the planning stages. We started and ran the new C-15 Caterpillar engine that runs the generator down at Well 8. Other jobs included vehicle and building maintenance, collecting the weekly routine water samples, collecting well samples, and the quarterly TTHM water system samples. We produced 76.66 acre-feet of water during April 2009. This was calculated as 25 acre-feet of state water, 22.95 acre-feet of Lopez project water, and we pumped 28.7 acre-feet of groundwater. The total amount of water produced in April 2009 was 15.6% more than was produced in March, but it was 3.84% less than was produced in April a year ago.
Any questions for Phil from the board?
The Caterpillar engine ran fine and as expected.
I'm sorry?
The Caterpillar engine was...
it's noisy. Yeah, it sounds beautiful to me.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, we will move on. Fire items. The 2009 fireworks program, we'll have a consideration of the recommendations from the fire committee to consider applications and hold a lottery to fill the one available position we have this time.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to step down from this item because one of the applicants is a club, and I pay some dues to that club, so I'm going to step down.
Except, excuse me, I don't think you have to.
I don't have to.
No, but because that club that you're a member of was grandfathered in, they're not up for the lottery. But if you want to step down, you can. Well, I don't care. I'm just telling
you.
Yeah,
I don't think I legally am required to, but to avoid any appearance of conflict, I'm going to go ahead and sit down.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Pamela, you want to give the report from last night of what the fire committee came up with and why?
First of all, I want to say that we had in here, I believe it's 5 applications to, actually 6 applications that came in within before the May 20th deadline. So there were 6 applications. Those were from the 5 Cities Girls Softball League, the Fraternal Order of Eagles Auxiliary, the Oak Park Christian Church, and the CHP, San Luis Obispo Area, and the Arroyo Grande High School Band Boosters, and the Arroyo Grande High School Boosters. So we had the help of the firefighters in looking these over, and what we were looking for was to see how these fireworks booths benefited the people here in Oceano. So the citizens, the kids, and that was the key thing that we were looking at. So we came up with three that we recommended because we felt they were the most deserving and did the most in our community. And those three were the band, well, I'm kind of backwards here, the Arroyo Grande High School band boosters was one of those. And we heard from Craig Angelo. He was a part of this when he was in high school, and he said there are about 70 students in the band, and 20 of those are from Oceano. And he said they don't receive money from other sources, and he felt this was worthy, and we thought we would go along with his recommendation. The Five Cities Girls Softball League, they have funds that go to pay their umpires, the fields, the uniforms, the insurance, and they say that kids from Oceano are involved in this, and we felt that they were also a worthy cause for the fireworks booth.
That one, I believe whatever amount they said it takes to per child or per girl?
It says $110 per girl, and we try to help the cost, keep the cost at $85. So they help subsidize getting the kids in to play softball.
There was like maybe around 120 girls played last year.
Let's see. We had 240 girls last year and 220 this year, is what they said.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of kids participate in this. A lot of girls.
Yes.
So we felt that was a worthy cause. And then the other one that we selected was the Fraternal Order of Eagles Auxiliary. And you can see on their explanation, they give profits. Their profits go to the Boys and Girls Club. They adopt families at Thanksgiving, and they said it's 5 to 6 families. In fact, the ladies who are part of that came to the fire committee meeting to tell us what they did do in the community of Oceano, which was very nice and helpful. They said they also do Christmas. At Christmas, they do the tree, the meal, and the presents for families. They also do give to the schools in Oceano. And this is for school supplies.
Yeah.
This is the school supply portion. And then they have a little girl that they sponsor in karate. And they also sponsor youth in Oceano for Camp Happy Talk.
Yeah.
So all of those things we thought were very good, and we thought they should be included in the lottery. The ones that we excluded from the lottery were Oak Park Christian Church. We didn't have enough information from them to know how they benefited here. The Squad 745, it seemed like they benefited perhaps businesses, but maybe not so much the kids. And we felt we wanted to really target kids. And the Arroyo Grande High School boosters, we thought they had other ways to raise funds. So we selected three out of those six to be included in the lottery.
And I think I might take this opportunity to add, and I'm sure Brian might have something to say on it too. We are warning all the applicants that if there are any fire violations, any violations in the booth, they'll be shut down immediately and they will never be allowed again. Year before last, we had some problems with smoking in one of the booths and lighting fireworks off behind the booth, and we discussed that with the particular group, but I'm sure that the fire department is going to make all these things very clear to every single group that is having a fire booth selling fireworks that if anybody breaks any of the rules, that's it. It's not a warning. It's not anything. It's just you're gone right then and there, and you've lost your profits and everything else.
And their cleaning deposit.
Everything.
And I have to add something to that, too, because Captain Bova says that Aurora Grande uses a particular flyer that has everything spelled out as to what work, what is not okay and what is okay. And he is going to use that flyer that Aurora Grande produced and have meetings with everybody who operates a booth, so it's very clear what is allowed and what is not allowed. So we think in part maybe our communication was remiss a little bit, and we did have a lot of talking about communication in fire committee meeting, which is something we need to do more of. So I think this year with Captain Bova meeting with all the participants or the heads of the fireworks booths, we will not have the problem. So that's our expectation, and we think we'll do better this year, and we'll continue to do better.
Gina, was it your intention to hold the lottery this evening?
Yes.
Okay, and I bet you maybe one of those young men from AGP could be the person that pulls it, because everybody else sitting here is involved in some way. So we'll get
just
to that.
Just checking.
We'll get to that shortly. Are any more comments from the board?
Women's auxiliary, I thought they were grandfathered in.
No, they weren't here last year.
Oh, okay. But there was one Eagles.
That's the men. They're still grandfathered. They didn't have to fill out this.
Okay.
That is confusing, because there's an Eagles auxiliary for the men, and then there's an that was grandfathered in, and they had a booth last year, and then there's an Eagles auxiliary for the women, and they are new for this year, and they put in their request. We talked about having two Eagles auxiliary, but then we thought, well, each one does specific things for the community and the kids in the community, and we didn't want to have one out and not have the other in. We thought they deserved to be in the lottery. So that was the idea behind that particular thing. It is kind of confusing because there are two groups, men and women's groups.
Okay, any comments from the public? Seeing none, can we do the lottery now?
Sure.
Could we have somebody from AGP to come and help us, please?
Fortunately, I checked to see if someone with their size hands could get into it.
Oh.
I was worried about that.
Well, this young man doesn't live in Oceano, and he probably doesn't know any of us. So he's going to draw the one that we will be granting the application to.
We're granting high school band boosters.
Okay, we'll notify that.
Royal Grande High School band boosters.
All right, now we're moving on to the contractor for the 2009 Hazardous Reduction Program, and our IGM both recommended the same company. Do you want to talk about this a little bit, Gina?
No, you're doing such a wonderful job.
Okay, well then Pamela can talk about that and the rules we set for that.
There's some rules on this one too, and some communication we felt.
Yes.
So on this one, ProTech was ProTech Landscape was the winning bidder, and apparently ProTech has done the weed abatement for us last year also. When we talked with Captain Bova about how well they did the job, he just had a couple of items, and they're going to have to sit down and talk about this. He said one thing that they do is their before and after pictures. Their after pictures have to be taken from the same angle and at the same distance, so you can see what it looked like before and looked like after. And then he also mentioned that they need to correctly write the APNs on. They have a sign they put up on the picture when they take the picture, and they were missing some of the first numbers, thinking those weren't needed. So they will be talking with the person who won the bid, and his name is.
Can I ask a question? First,
sure.
A technical question, and I don't know if it's in conflict or not, but I guess a lot of cities are doing this right now, and they've been faxing information from my office, and so I kind of feel like I should not be involved in this discussion. Does that make sense?
Why are they faxing you?
Because I work at a place that does communication, and so bids and things are being...
Oh, that came through your office.
And it's going through my office, and I just think that if it's not a conflict, it's, you know... Morally, I probably shouldn't be involved in the discussion, nor the vote.
Alex?
Some of these people are your customers?
Yes.
The particular people that are involved here?
I don't know. I did not look at the applications. I just know. I know the different cities and the different people who are going to do my work, but I didn't look at these.
Unless the amount of revenue you derive from the particular contractors involved here gets over the threshold... And, of course, you don't know for sure whether they mentioned before. Perhaps I haven't while you've been on the board. Even if I give you advice that says it's okay, that doesn't insulate you from liability if I'm wrong. So it is ultimately your
okay.
decision.
I'd just like to step out real quick while we have a decide.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, go ahead, Pamela.
Okay. So the other item that didn't work so well last year was that the APNs needed to be written out fully on the board when they take the picture. So I think it will be Captain Leathers will be talking with with Protect Landscape and going over what needs to be done and making sure that those kinds of things are taken care of this year. So that's it. Yes.
Do we
call for action as a vote?
Yeah. Okay. Any comments from anyone on the board? Any public comment? Roll call.
I have a motion, please.
Oh well. Jim made the motion, didn't you, Harry?
Well, I could do that. Okay. I would move that we approve the proposal for Protect Landscape and give direction to the general manager to proceed with procuring the hazard abatement services for 2009.
Second.
Roll call now, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much. Can you ask Mary to come back in, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We're now on utility items, the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. This is our ongoing
emergency.
Gina, would you like to?
I have one question about this little emergency.
Sure. I bet I know what that question is.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it ever going to be over?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, are they still inspecting the lines, all the lines and everything, to make sure they're all clean and everything?
Right. I'm talking about sewer. So, did they, the lines that run down the alleys, do you know if we had those checked too? Okay. Thank you, Phil.
You were asking only about sewer lines or water lines as well?
Water lines as well. I hope it's a different tube.
TV, the water lines.
We never look at our water lines then. Just the sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
This has been an... I can't find my little paper on this for some reason. I was looking at it a minute ago.
You should have it memorized.
I should have it, yeah. Thank you, Jim. Public Contract Code, Section 22050C1, requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, to determine by 4/5 vote that there is need to continue the action. Well, we're not finished fixing it, so I guess there's still need to continue the action. The recommended action is by board discussion, public comment, motion second, and roll call a vote determined by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. Is there any comments from the board on this? Any comments from the public? If not, bringing it back. I'm now waiting for a motion.
I move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake for its cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Okay. We have before you the MOU with the Integrated Regional Water Management Program. I think as you'll remember at the last meeting in on May 13th, I brought this forward to talk about. We can't apply for those grants. There is no cost to us. Alex has looked at it. We can say we don't want to be part of their group at any time. But I just thought it would be an excellent organization for us to belong to for when we need to apply for some grants. Everybody, I assume, had time to read it and look at it, and if they would have had any questions, I think they would have called Gina or perhaps Alex regarding it. You didn't have any problems with this at all, Alex. Is that correct?
That's correct. It doesn't obligate you really to anything except to perhaps attend a few meetings to try and work towards developing this plan. That said, you know, there is sort of a inertia snowball rolling down the hill effect that sometimes occurs with these types of things where in order to implement something, there's some administrative charge back, and you'll get the opportunity to buy into that before you become obligated, but sometimes the snowball starts getting rolling down the hill, and it's hard to get out of these kinds of things. But at this time, you're not obligated to anything. You can say no at any time you want.
Yeah. And if we sign this, then we are eligible to submit for future IRWM grant opportunities.
There are some grants from both the state and federal government that are only eligible to participants in these kinds of programs.
Yes.
And does this have a membership fee?
No. There is no cost.
And the benefit is there a federal registry or something that says that in order to apply for these federal dollars, you must have some kind of cohesive
There are some federal and state monies that are only available if you have an integrated regional water management program in place. And so you have to be part of the group to have ownership of the plan.
Typically, those kind of grants fall in the categories of water quality improvement, preservation of ecosystems, water supply protection, groundwater management, flood management, those kinds of things. So especially groundwater management is something we're vitally interested in, water supply protection, ecosystem preservation, water quality improvement are all things that the district is vitally interested in. So grants related to those sorts of things would be
type projects.
This is my concern. I believe in collaboration wholeheartedly if they're good collaborations. And so, say, for example, if this body chose to put effort into desalination, you know, which isn't going to benefit Oceano at all, and it's a matching grant, and they're awarded it, are we, because we're part of the cohesive group, are we responsible for a certain portion of that particular project?
Only if you sign on for that particular project. So you can do it on a project-by-project basis.
So each proposed project that comes forth, the body votes on it, and we're not, like, you know, trapped into spending so much money, and we're just stuck, like, in some areas.
For instance, the group may decide that there's an appropriate project in the Los Osos area that would be good to pursue. And county flood control and the county itself and Los Osos Community Services District all decide that's a project worth pursuing. They would pursue it pursuant to the plan. We have no financial responsibility for it. And is it Napomo that's the other member? Napomo.
Yeah.
Napomo would have no responsibility for it. On the other hand, we might team up with Napomo or team up with the county on a project that would benefit this area. And the other members would not be on board for it.
Okay, so then what if you have two entities that are competing against each other for money? Like Napomo's going after this money over here and Los Osos also going after that money.
That's certainly a possibility.
But it's really in the Oceano's backyard.
Well, then you'd pick your side, Napomo.
So that's what I'm saying is that I believe in collaboration and stuff. It's just that sometimes there's a catch.
I think your point is well taken. There could be, there could come a time when there might be some competition between group members about some resource that's available from the state or the federal government. I don't think there's anything here that prevents an entity from competing with another entity within the group for that limited resource that's available.
I'd like to speak on this because I wasn't at the last meeting, and it kind of pertains to what Mary Portons, that Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Aurora Grande kind of participate in this, and they are not one of those. They're not one of the entities, or they're not included in this.
President Mann might be able to speak to this better than I can, but my understanding is that the county has distributed this out to all of the agencies in the county, and so it's just now that it's being considered by all the governing bodies. So the fact that you don't see their name on here yet doesn't necessarily mean they won't join
good
up.
News, then, correct. Because I felt that it was a necessity that we all be joined here as far as an integrated regional.
There's really no downside to them all joining.
No, there's no downside. I think we should all be there. So that was my only other comment. And there's one more. Zone 11A is, you know, a part of our flood control district, and they would be perhaps a partner in some of the things we might consider too. And I think they've come very close to getting some grants for the work that they do here on the flood management portion.
Good. Any other comments, Jim?
I think the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, to address your specific concern, is one of the examples that's given specifically in this as something that might be addressed regionally, and thus probably encouraging those other entities to join.
So we still have time. In other words, everybody still has time, and we're all looking at it right now. Okay.
Vern, do you have any comments on this?
Nope.
Anything else, Mary?
Not this time. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Bring it back to the board.
So I would move that we join the Regional Water Management Group and direct the president of the board to sign the MOU on behalf of the district.
Second.
Let's do a roll call on this.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you. We're going to do one more item before we go into closed session, and that is we need to deal with our interim general manager's contract. And I think I'm going to let Gina and Alex address this.
Hours for fiscal year 2008-2009, including some hours that he worked under a previous contractor agreement, nor can the extension extend the total employment period beyond 12 months, which would take us into October. Other than that, the agreement would stay in place according to its terms. Of course, we're now past April 30th, 2009. So this is just a cleanup item to ratify the board's desire to keep Mr. Walsh on, presumably on a month-to-month basis until we have a permanent general manager in place.
What, are we going to come back every month on this?
No, I think the action that the board takes could be to keep him on or to extend his contract on a month-to-month basis, subject to the limitations that I outlined, until a new general manager is obtained.
Okay, just one question, Alex. I probably wasn't paying real close attention. Do the hours start over July 1?
The hours start over July 1. However, there is a one-year limitation on his total service.
So it can't go more than November or whenever he starts?
I was thinking it was the end of October, but you may be right.
Whenever?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we take care of this now on a month-to-month continuation, we don't have to deal with it again.
Well, this one that I have in front of me says that it was entered into originally on January 1st.
That's correct, but you'll recall that Mr. Walsh was working for us during the last couple of months of the year under a contractor agreement as opposed to an employment agreement.
Okay. All right. And if there's a skipping of time in between when this current one ends, which was in April, and starting a new one?
You can ratify it retroactive to May 1st.
Will that...
Excuse me. Gina just reminded me that we approved it on April 22nd until today's date. So that's why it's back on the calendar. I thought I remembered approving that you approving this once before.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Herr?
Yeah.
Any other questions from the board? Mary? No? Are there any?
And not to exceed 12 months overall as necessary.
Second.
Do I need a roll call on this?
It's not a resolution. It's just by motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. And well, I guess we do have, we could just take old business. You'll notice that there's no status change, so there's no reports on drainage issues, water and sewer master plan, water and sewer rate studies, review of the codification sections, 2008-2009 district goals, and the grant writer, Randall Funding and Development.
So may I ask why number six, there's no movement?
Staff, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you. Interim General Manager Walsh, of course, is being out of the office. He was the contact with Mr. Randall, and I think the next thing that needs to be done is the signing of the agreement, and then they'll move ahead.
Okay. Can we get somebody, I don't know, a board member? I'd be happy to review the agreement with another board member, but, you know, you have to, you know, we have to move forward. We can't just put it on old business. And I understand, you know, family crisis and stuff like that. Trust me, I've had plenty in my life lately. But we still have to keep some things going, and that's And this is part of the project of keeping the district going, so, you know.
Actually, I had an email from Mr. Randall today that I was planning to answer tomorrow, so we will.
I would be happy to read that contract with another board member and
but actually the board approved the contract.
Yes,
we've already approved the contract.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for.
We're just going to have it signed.
Signed?
Mm-hmm.
Can one of the board members sign it?
I think I'm the only one that signs.
So can I ask the president to sign that?
When staff gives it to me, I'll be more than happy to.
Okay, can I ask the staff to please give it to the president to sign?
Yes, ma'am.
And then what happens? Does it come off the old business column, the dusty column, and go on to a live item, or?
Yes, and they will give us regular updates.
Were they going to come pay a visit to us and actually see what our needs were here in the community? The Randall Group, or a person from the Randall Group, would work with Wallace Group and actually come to the community and see the kinds of things we're interested in doing, even. And that's where maybe a board member might want to be in attendance if they have that meeting. I would suggest that Mary be that board member.
Thanks.
So I don't know what they'll probably tell you in their next step.
Right.
How to set that up.
You can give my email.
Any other comments? This time we're going to adjourn to closed session, but before Alex does his little thing, I want to pull the contract evaluation for legal counsel off of this tonight and discussing the memorandum of understanding for the fire department. I'd like to take those two things off, please.
And that's for a closed session?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then I have a question too, President.
Yes.
Under the fire, did the committees already committee, under the fire committee, was the grant submitted for the,
we'll
the fire?
We'll come back. We're going to come back to.
Oh, we're going to come back?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
I didn't know because,
thunder.
You know, once you get behind them closed doors, you never know what happens.
But we have a telephone conference and we need to meet first. Therefore,
okay. So then,
we're going into
great.
Closed session now. Alex?
So the remaining items for the closed session agenda are item 11B, public employment, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1. Consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being the general manager, and item 11D, a conference with legal counsel regarding potential litigation, that being a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the litigation being Bookout versus State of California et al., San Luis Obispo County Superior Court, case number CV060384.
I am so surprised that Mr. Bookout is suing us still. I'd like to go on the record as saying that.
We're now in closed session, correct?
Regard to item 11D, a closed session with legal counsel regarding pending litigation, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the matter being Bookout versus State of California et al., San Luis Obispo County Superior Court, case number CV060384. The board met in closed session with legal counsel, received a report, and no action was taken.
Thank you. We'll now go back to item 10. This will be the reports of the district representatives. I'm going to start with you, Jim. I'm going to be the last one.
Okay. I have none this month, as President Mann attended the sanitation district this month.
We had a meeting on May 18th of the Oceano Advisory Council. The room was packed. The county public works came down had a couple of people from County Public Works, and we had, I asked Andy Zoki from the State Parks to come down, and he came down, and the sheriff stayed late, and we had another person from planning here. And what we had, we received a presentation from Public Works about some additional signage that they wanted to put in the community, and what they're basically looking at is putting stop signs at each of the roads that tee into Strand Way, and they're also looking at putting up a bus loading zone on 19th next to the school, and they want to put a no parking sign on Halcyon, which would be north of Highway 1 and east on the east side of Halcyon, where you see where right now there's a number of vehicles that get parked there daily with for sale signs on them. And it was a hot button issue. It was something that was pulled from the off the county consent agenda and sent to us on a request for public input on it and intersection separately. And the stop signs that were teed into Strand Way was supported on a 4-2 vote on each of those, and then the bus loading zone and the no parking zone were supported 6-0, and there was a lot of time from community input on this issue. There's a lot of issues from the impacts down in that part of town. And so we're going
Which to part of town?
The part of town that Strand Way is in, the beach area there.
West of the tracks?
Well, yeah, but not everything west of the tracks, just the area that Strand Way is on, where Strand Way goes in, and the homes that are on the beach and back from the beach right in there. And so that's one thing that we're going to be looking at in the future, and trying to get input from the community in that area as to what we can do to try to mediate some of those impacts. So that's the advisory council meeting, and then on May 20th, I attended the Airport Land Use Commission, and there was one issue before the commission on a project where there's a winery or a winery with a large vineyard area that is by the San Luis Obispo Airport, would be east of 227 or Broad Street, close to the end of the runway there, and they want to put in 2.5 acres of solar panels. And that the solar panels would be connected to the grid, but it'd be connected to underground wiring. And the solar panels, the other concern that the commission voiced was whether there'd be a reflection problem for people coming into the landing. And the solar panels are designed such that there's no reflection coming off of them. So that project was approved, and the council was, our commission was told about it, that they'll have to be determining whether that'll be consistent or not consistent. And then there was also a question that came up about a project that had been approved in the past that was based on a rule that was you had to be 45 feet off of the center line, or 450 feet off of the center line of the runway, and the project was starting to be designed by that, and then there were some, what ended up being found out later on is that the FAA had an additional 50 feet tacked onto that, so that project, which had gone through and had been approved, has now been brought to a halt, and that was on the along Tank Farm Road on the north side of it. And that was basically what happened at the Airport Land Use Commission. And that's everything I have.
Vern, can I ask you about one of your committees on the Oceana Advisory Committee? My understanding is that there was an ad hoc body put together to address the Pier Street businesses and residential area concerns in that area. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not, I don't know which, what, I'm not.
My understanding is that there was a committee or an ad hoc committee or some form, some body that was formed.
It's for Strand.
Under the Oceano Advisory Committee, and that you were the one who picked the committee. So could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about now.
I know that it was just people that you had picked.
Okay. No, it was what it was at the meeting, there was what we want to look at is, I think the one we're talking about is going to look at some of the issues with Strand Way, what they are, and actually there was two of them, and one of them made it and one of them didn't.
Safety on Strand Way.
Okay. So, I think it was the impacts and safety on Strand Way, but it was to try to identify what the impacts are, and so we get a complete list of what the
Because I do know that there have been people who have called me. And I'm not knowing anything about this committee or the appointments or anything like that, but that there have been, you know, strong advocates for that area in development and business and stuff, and they were denied access onto the committee. In particular, Nell Langford, who's
was
been
denied access onto what? Onto what?
Onto your subcommittee to oversee the safety of the strands.
No, actually the...
But that people from out of town were appointed. So maybe you could clarify that a little bit.
Nobody was denied, and actually the opposite was is true.
Okay, so you said there were six people who were appointed. Just so I have my facts straight, that's all I want to do.
No, I did not say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, now, to try to get all your questions answered, because you keep asking, but I don't ever get a chance to answer each one of them before we go on to the next one, so let's try to get back to each one of them. You wanted to know, okay, who and how many, or how many was on this subcommittee to work on identifying these impacts. There were two board members, or two council members, which the two council members was Will DeShane and Glenda Guyton. Mm-hmm. And then in the discussion, it was the council wanted members of the public to be involved also, and so the public as a whole, everybody that was there, was asked if anybody wanted to be on it. One person volunteered, and then that person became part of it as well.
And that person is
Kevin Rice.
Kevin P. Rice.
Kevin P. Rice.
And does Kevin live in Oceano?
Let's finish with all the questions before we get more questions.
Okay.
Okay. And then Nell was asked specifically if she wanted to or if she had anybody that wanted to, and she did not want to, and she didn't have anybody she wanted to have.
So she declined. Okay.
Okay. So she declined, and it's open for anybody else, I'm sure, that wants to be involved in it as well. Sorry. No, I don't know.
So they're to overlook the safety and how things are going down on Strandway and bring attention to OHAC?
No.
No, okay.
They are to identify what the impacts are of the State Beach. I believe that's how it went down.
And so there's just three people at this time on this committee.
As far as I know, unless the
committee itself is out. And they're looking at the beach and the strand, or just the beach?
They're not looking at the beach, they're not looking at strand. They're looking at the impacts the beach has on the community. And those would be, for the most part, down in that area by the beach.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Sorry, there's a lot of questions.
No, it's fine. I just needed to... I know there was still one there that I didn't get answered, and I can't remember what it was now.
I have a question, Vern.
Okay.
Not to be second-guessing you, but for something that affects Oceana, Strandway affects Pier Avenue, which is Oceana. Is it particularly wise to have somebody on this committee that is from another community, does not live in Oceano, does not own a business in Oceano?
Doesn't even live in the county, I don't think.
No, he does.
Works in another county.
Just because, okay. Again, it raised.
Okay. One of the... council members requested that we have, you know, asked for, you know, help, input from the, you know, from the community, anybody that had an interest in it, to be on and thought that at that time when they asked that that they were, you know, that it didn't matter or could be somebody that didn't necessarily have to live in the impact or live in the community. I know Kevin P. Rice has an interest in it because he does off-highway vehicle activities, maybe on that beach once in a while, but it's an interest of his, and this is something that I'm hoping that everybody that has any interest in that.
Or is the issue the impact, or that we have the highest death rate for any state park in the United States of America? Maybe that might be the issue. Because if you're on there to keep it legal to be off-road, I'm really confused on what that's for. Because my understanding is, you just said, it's for impacts. I would naturally think of, wow, we have a lot of deaths on that beach. You know, people are dying pretty much monthly, and so which is it? Because this is self-interest, and these families have been here for multiple generations. So,
well, you know, Mary Lucy,
I'm just confused now, Vern.
Okay, we would love to have additional input if you want to.
Great. When's your next meeting?
I don't contact either any one of those two council members. And tell them you want to be involved in that.
You didn't tell me who the council members were. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I did.
Will DeShane and Glenda
Guyton. Yeah. And, see
and Kevin P. Rice works in Los Angeles and lives in Pismo, so I wouldn't know how to get a hold of him.
Well, you wouldn't be getting a hold of him per se. Okay. You would be getting a hold of one.
I'll talk
two.
To Glenda. Yeah.
Okay.
I just think one of the things to remember, though, the beach is not our issue.
Right. Beach is not our issue.
And so it isn't. You know, it's supposed to be...
It's the impacts the beach have on the community. That's what we're trying to identify.
I thought that it was Strandway. Strandway. And the people and the use of Strandway. Not saying the beach. The beach isn't
okay,
coming up
well,
on Strandway.
Well, the main specifically... Mainly what they will look at, because the main impacts that are happening in that area is on Strandway, but it's also on Pier Avenue. Okay, so they'll look at stuff that's, you know, possible impacts that are happening there, because it's, you know, a lot of traffic there on the weekends, and if that's something the county can look at and figure out a way to help lighten that. Then that's, you know, then that's great. We'd like the county to do that.
I guess I'm really, really confused now, Mr. Dahl, because you just said that Mr. Kevin P. Rice was on to address.
You know, there's several that have been identified already, you know, traffic on Pier Avenue. You know, the width, the traffic, additional traffic on Strand Way and the width and some of the parking issues and some of the weekend issues with parking on that street. You know, the pavement condition on the street. There's been a number of things that have been identified, but we want to try to come up with a complete list of what those impacts are. And so that we can communicate back to the county, which is what this council does, of the of what's going on in the community.
So would you say it's safe to call it environmental impacts?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, I didn't mean to torture you. I just...
No.
Pulling teeth there.
No. Not a problem.
Anything else, Vern?
Not unless somebody else has another question.
Pamela, I believe it's your turn then.
I'll report on the fire committee from last night, and a lot of that we've already discussed at the meeting. But a couple of things. One good news is the NIMS training is complete for Oceano, OCSD, so we're 100% compliant. Yay! And it took a long time, but we did it. The other thing is that John Bova has submitted the grant for the fire apparatus. He did that on May 16th. He said that in the interim general manager's absence, he had Dave Matthey and Chief Hubert review it, and they both reviewed it for him, and they said he did a very good job. He also said that this was submitted actually 4 days before the deadline. At that time, there were 1,890 applications, which is far less than they expected. I mean, I think they were expecting 10,000 or something like that. So we're getting very good odds. So he thinks there are maybe 2,000 applications submitted, so we have a better chance than we ever thought with the number of applications submitted. So that was very good. One thing we talked about is sometimes the person sitting here at our meetings representing the fire department doesn't always pass on the information or direction he's given that others have submitted. And in particular, he is using one that Grover Beach used because they had a similar, very similar system. So he says it's difficult to write these. I concur. They are difficult to write. And he said you have to be very careful with how it's written. He has time to do this, and he is proceeding accordingly. The rest of the things we kind of talked about already, so... I'll end that as the fire committee meeting, unless Barbara has something else she wishes to add.
No, I think you've covered it all.
Pamela, can I just ask that? Can we just get like electronic copy or something of the grant so we can see the work that's being done?
I think he was going to pass that on to Chief Hubert, so he would have a copy so that Chief Hubert could answer questions if they should be coming. I don't know if it's we can submit those, or I'm not sure. I'll have to ask him if it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
It should be.
I have requested a copy of the final document and support, so we'll have the original.
The original.
So you could make a copy for Mary then.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to see the copy.
Yeah.
I do have to go on to the Zone 3 meeting, and I'll try to be brief. There were no quagga mussels found in anywhere. Yay! Which is very good. However, they are working on an infestation response plan should they find that there are quagga mussels somewhere. So Dennis Delsite is working on that emergency plan for Santa Margarita Lake and Lopez Lake. They are also going to be working with Monterey County to encourage them to start the quagga mussel program at Lake Nacimiento, since
the water will be coming to this county from Lake Nacimiento. They just said it's a very difficult lake to monitor because there are many private docks, and you can just go in there. Private property owners can go use those docks, and they can just put their boats in. So there's not a good way to monitor the lake. However, you would think the people that are property owners around the lake would be very interested in keeping the quagga mussels out of there.
And their water's getting mixed with our water if they ever build this pipeline?
Well, the pipeline's being built right now. You can see it. The screens that screen the water coming into the pipes get clogged up. They have to chlorinate all of the quagga mussels that are going through the pipes, so it's more chlorine, and it's increased costs. I mean, it's just something you don't want to have to do if you don't have to. So they're saying these back in the Great Lakes, they're used to dealing with quagga mussels, and they just count it as part of their treatment.
Question?
What?
And I caught him.
Okay, question?
No, it's okay. We'll go on. I'll find out later.
Yes, you will.
Do you have a question?
I do.
Is Vern has a question?
Okay.
Okay. What we're going to be using the water from Lopez, or from
this county will be, county but will. Not us.
But not us. Okay.
Not us.
So it won't be run through our water no. purification plant.
No.
Any idea what plant they're going to be running?
They run it through the treatment plant at the foot of Cuesta Grade.
Okay. And that one is treating what other water now?
It's treating Santa Margarita Lake water.
Which also doesn't have quagga mussels in it.
No,
but
we don't
it doesn't
have
go. It doesn't go to the lake. It just goes through the treatment plant.
Yeah.
But the treatment plant has a holding pond, right?
I am not sure on that treatment plant how they do theirs, or if they do have a holding pond. I think they do. They used to have a reservoir there.
Yeah.
Which is called Reservoir Canyon, I guess. So, I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm not either.
So Lopez is about it. I have. Is there anything else you need to know on that one?
No, I'm just curious. I didn't know how I wasn't familiar with it, and I didn't know if you might know or so on it. Because if they're running it through their pond, you'd get the quagga mussels in their holding pond.
What they try to do, I'm told, is they chlorinate all of the pipeline. And kill the quagga mussels and strain them out before they get into the treatment plant.
Oh, okay.
So it's chlorinated to kill the quagga mussels
so
before
up.
They even get to the treatment plant. The Lopez Lake capacity is 56%. We're going down and down and down. There's Black and Veatch is essentially not working for them any longer. And they will be working on cost-cutting measures, which I definitely applaud, cost-cutting measures. The Paul membrane performance test, that's the screening that takes the impurities out of the water. They did the test. They don't have the report back. I asked about that report, and it's still not done. So they're saying that the energy is up. The chemical usage is a little bit less, and that the maintenance is up on that Paul membrane kind of thing. But I don't have the final report. They are saying that we've used 440 acre feet over safe yield this year, which is not a good thing. That means there's no surplus water and no spills through the spillway. And one of the things that John Wallace asked about is, he asked about supporting the creek, the natural reaction of the creek over time. Right now we are putting 3.4 million gallons down there a day through the creek because we have to. We are still that is because of the habitat conservation plan. So until we have a take permit to take fish from that creek, we will continue to keep the creek in water year-round. And it's taking, it is 4,200 acre feet a year. It's a lot of water we're putting down the creek. And so the habitat conservation plan is something they're working through. They're almost in the final stages of saying, this is what we propose, and giving it to them over the next several months. And they're still saying another year and perhaps more. This has been a 10-year process, and they're saying about $950,000 of cost to do this. So there was quite a discussion about why we have to do this, and it is the Endangered Species Act, and what happens if we don't do it, and everybody could go to jail and be fined big money. And a lot of upset people on the board asking the same question, and getting answered again. It's the same answer. But it is a frustration, I guess, on everybody's side. So the other thing we're looking at is extreme conservation of water, and it's something we probably need to speak to in our community, and how we can do that and what kinds of steps we can take, and maybe down to, even with county building permits, what kind of landscape can be done, or how that landscape can be watered, or those kinds of things. I'm thinking it's getting, because most of our water goes into landscape, I'm thinking we may have to get involved in that. Since we're the purveyors of water, we better let people know how to conserve as much as possible, and we better start now because we think we're going for the next 7-year drought right now. It's not good news. So that's bad news. The other thing is we did vote on the budget, and I voted yes on it. They did the best they could. It is still not good, and we're still looking at cost-cutting measures, and these operation costs are still running higher than normal and higher than expected. They have cost savings. That's because they haven't done the projects they're slated to do, including the sludge pits. So they're trying to come up with a cheaper way to have county staff actually build the sludge pits for the treatment plant, which that's good news too. So there's a lot going on in the water segment that I'll close with that unless anybody has questions.
I just have a technical question. Am I here alternate? Or is this a typo? Because, I mean, I'd be happy to be your alternate.
You are to be my alternate. You do have to put in your resume for the Board of Supervisors approval.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that has to be done. Did you get do
I
that?
I thought the committee assignments stupidly thought it happened in December. I never saw that I was. I didn't know I was part of Zone 3.
Okay, because about. Okay, no, you are my alternate. However, you have to be approved by the Board of Supervisors, and that was in February when I think I was trying to get your... No, you get to make up your own resume. I won't do that for you.
I haven't seen that modified. Okay, I'll get that to you because I had no idea. I'm sorry. I do read my agenda. Nobody informed me I was on the screen.
The difficulty with this committee is I don't get the agenda and the backup documents until the day before. It's kind of a difficult situation. Sometimes the county gets it out to me with maybe a couple of days to spare, but not a lot of time to go through this stuff.
And when I get my resume and then they'll send it to me, or should I just,
You should be on their list to send it to.
Okay, very good.
And then the other thing...
If they even accept it at this point.
Oh, they'll accept you. It just is kind of like a consent thing.
Okay,
and then you get to go look at the water treatment plant, which is really,
really, cool.
Really interesting. Okay. And I want to go again.
The sewer plant when the tank was empty.
Oh, okay. I wasn't.
I have gone over the drawing bits.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Pamela. Any other questions of Pamela?
Thank you, Pamela.
All right. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on Wednesday, May 20th. It was a really short meeting. A couple of important things that in the superintendent's report, he said there's some difficulties regarding the suspended solids, the results. It's only supposed to, we have a limit. The district's water discharge limit is 40, and it's been running at 40.6. And the reason they think it is higher is due to the an excessive population of filter flies and snails residing in the fixed film reactor. So they put some, I was going to say drugs, that's probably some things in there to clear it up in the fixed film reactor, and they think it'll be better at the end of the month. But the last paragraph in it, it said, the possibility does exist that this application will result in the FFR slogging, whatever that means, which could result in a short-term increase of suspended solids results. At board action, they took the stormwater pump rehabilitation, which is a major budget item. I think it was probably number one item for this year. Staff recommended the board approve the purchase of pumps and a rail system from Gerlich Mitchell for the quote with price of $7,425.16. That happened to have been the lowest bid. They had included in their budget, the 2008-09 budget, of a figure of $7,500, so it came in a little bit under budget. They're getting a pump rail system which will eliminate the need for confined space entry when the pumps are removed for servicing. So they were able to add that, so that was a very good thing. And then they did an update on the district's fats, oils, and grease, commonly called the FOG program. And they had what was kind of interesting, that Aurora Grandy, they only have, they have this year 96% are in compliance, as opposed to last year, a year ago, July, they only had 33%. Grover Beach in 08 had 59% in compliance. In 09, they have 96% in compliance. And then you come to Oceana. In 08, we had 53% non-compliance, and now we're still at 18% non-compliance. 18, but I think that's only three stores.
We have fewer.
Mm-hmm. One, so they're still working on it. It's public education, really, with the restaurants or the places that have any grease going down their sinks, and to have a cleaning maintenance schedule, and they're moving right along with it. So that was, there was no miscellaneous oral communications, there was no miscellaneous written communications. General manager items for discussion?
Sure.
Please.
As Director Dean already said, we are 100% compliant with our NIMS training. The fire consolidation, there have been several meetings since the last board meeting with the city managers and the finance officers trying to come up with the budget. One of the main issues is still that each agency reports its payroll in a different manner. And trying to extrapolate from our gross pay how much is for embedded overtime and
the other breakdowns that they want is not being easy, and Cindy's working very hard to get that done for them. I think the next meeting is on June 1st. The sewer rehabilitation project, of course, that's still going on. We're looking forward to hearing about the $340,000 that we're still hoping to get from the DRI funds and when it will be funded. That will fund the final five segments of the project. The good news about the water was that last Friday we received word that we are now going to get 40% of our state water allocations, and they've adjusted our monthly deliveries accordingly, much better than the 15% we were told at the beginning of the year. And the other item is the Halcyon Mobile Home Park annexation is moving along. We've had a lot of emails back and forth with LAFCO staff lately. The item will be on the Board of Supervisors agenda on Tuesday, June 9th, and this is regarding the property tax transfer. It will be on OCSD's June 10th agenda. We'll have a resolution agreeing to the transfer of the property taxes, and then it will be on the LAFCO agenda on June 18th. And I believe legal counsel has another update.
Two items related to that. We have received from the mobile home park people insurance certificates that evidence that they have insurance, but they did not name the district as additional insured as was agreed. I haven't communicated with them yet. Technically, it doesn't need to be in place until we start the delivery of water, but we need to get that resolved. So I will follow up with them on that. The other item is you'll recall that in the fall, a few weeks, I haven't gotten it yet, so I followed up with an email to him yesterday. I haven't gotten a response, so I'll follow up with a phone call on that tomorrow because we are getting close to the finish line on this. And I'm not sure, maybe it's completely separate issues, but I'd be a little surprised if the Board of Supervisors or LAFCO would approve the property tax exchange without having all of those things in place.
You're right.
So there is some urgency there.
LAFCO won't approve it without every T crossed and I dotted.
That's it.
Thank you. Well, now we're to board member items for discussion. Start down at your end, Mary.
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Vern?
I don't have anything.
Jim?
Nothing.
I just want to set up our codification of water that we have been missing for a while, and sewer, because I think those are both on my plate now. And I think we just need to get to it, and maybe that first week in June we can do it, because things have kind of gotten in the way of that, like general manager kinds of things and just a lot of other special meetings. So I'd like to get with Jim and Mary afterwards and set up a meeting when to get started. It's going to be a long haul. I'm prepped and primed. I'm ready to go. So I think, yeah, we just need to get with it. And then I wanted to say I want to thank Wallace Group for sending the reports that they on the sewer project, and especially the interesting fact that we have horned owls in the eucalyptus tree, so they cannot take down the eucalyptus tree to do part of the sewer project until they fly away from their nest. And they had pictures of them.
Yeah, I saw them.
Very cute. But it also means that the nesting birds cannot be, you don't take their trees down until they go. So we have two baby horned owls along with a mother in that nest over there, right over by 13th Street where the tall eucalyptus trees. Yeah. So we have habitat. But they're doing a good job with their reports for us. I thought they're very well done.
I don't have any.
Heathcock one was to fabricate boxes, and I think it was for $61.71.
Help me.
Fire department.
to fabricate boxes?
To put on the engine. That they use for hose or tools or things like that.
So this is coming out of the fire department's budget?
That's correct.
Because I don't remember this coming before the board.
It comes before the board.
Because usually they come before the board on equipment, large item equipment and stuff like that.
No,
like we need this, and this. And
it was an item that was taken to the general manager and approved.
Okay, and then Rush Truck Center?
Was a repair and...
Oh, so it was just like mechanical?
Oh, right.
Okay.
Do you have any...
Yeah, You know, they usually come saying we need hoses or we need a new glove, we need a sock, you know. But I don't know why they don't have to come for the big items. Just for FYI, if anything.
Was it a budgeted item?
I was trying to think that while.
Because if it would have been a budgeted item, it would have been approved last mm-hmm. year.
I can certainly check for you.
Okay. Any other questions about the warrants? Jim?
No.
Pamela? Vern?
No.
I don't have any either. Does the public have any questions about the warrants? If not?
I move that we approve the warrants of 527-09 as submitted.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Last public comment of the evening. Do we have any public comment? Seeing none. Do we have any written communication received after the packet?
No, we have not.
Thank you very much. We stand.
Can I ask that we adjourn in memory of our service volunteer who risked his life and whose life was taken on the dunes this weekend, and that maybe we could send a letter to his family just expressing our
certainly
our horror.